Day worship today is keeping the Christmas spirit all year round. I think that we can safely say that Christmas Day is the most wonderful day of the year for all humankind. It's a day where just about all people stop from their busy daily routines of life. It's a time where even traditionally soldiers have laid down their arms in battle against each other. It's a time where much charity is shown in our society to the poor and the needy, as they're supported with free lunches, hampers, toys and gifts to give them a great day. Many volunteers come forward to help serving the poor and the needy today. Christmas Day is also a day where families get together and share the day, celebrating the joy and festivities of Christmas. Christmas is also a time when churches are full, when many people attend to worship the Christ child at Christmas Eve or on Christmas Day. Christmas Day is also a day for parents to really enjoy being parents to their children as they delight in the joy of their children unwrapping their Christmas Day presents. But what will happen on Boxing Day, or next week, or definitely by the end of January? Well, let's see. I guess, and I think it's a pretty accurate guess, that you'll be flat out again in the routine of life. Busy, busy, busy. Running here, running there, doing this, doing that. Life will be the same as it was in those busy weeks leading up to Christmas. No doubt soldiers around the world would have picked up their arms again and taken other human life. Of the people in the community who came forward to help the poor and needy, there will be probably some who will be criticising those who they helped over that special time. In families, the old wounds and scars and divisions that were once there, that were put on hold on Christmas Day, will probably arise again and will have raised their ugly heads, and family members will be at odds again with each other. Churches will be quite empty through the month of January, as many members and even clergy have holidays. And by the end of January, most parents will probably be counting the days until the children go back to school. So Christmas is indeed a wonderful time, isn't it? Real miracles do happen at Christmas time. Christmas is truly a season of peace and love and joy and goodwill between all people. And isn't it a pity that every day of the year can't be like Christmas Day? Wouldn't it be good if it could? Well, it can. And in the service this morning, we'll look at the main people involved in the Christmas story, which reveal to us the Christmas spirit. And then we're going to look at how we can keep that same Christmas spirit all year round. You may be seated as we hear our first reading from Luke 1, 26 to 38.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings. You are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be born the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May the word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her.
Next to Jesus, Mary is the next greatest character in the Christmas story. Mary, a young virgin girl, probably about 15 years old, lived in the backwaters of Galilee in a town named Nazareth. Nazareth was only a small town, and because of its smallness and distance from the larger areas like Galilee, Samaria, and Judea, it was considered, as one would say today, just a hole in the ground. One day the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary. We don't know what she was doing, whether she was resting or cooking or cleaning or what have you, but the angel came to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Now, Mary was greatly troubled at this. She wasn't sure if this angel was actually for her doom. But Gabriel told her not to be afraid, because she would bear the Messiah. Now, Mary quite logically and rightly asked, how can this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel tells her that her conception would be a miracle of the Holy Spirit. And as proof, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is already in her sixth month of pregnancy. Now, Mary could have said to the angel, oh no, go on, that's not going to happen to me, it just doesn't make any sense. Or she could have said, no way, I'm too young to have any children. But she didn't say no to any of the things the angel said. She said, I am the Lord's servant, may it be to me as you have said. Mary said, yes. She said yes to God's wills, ways, and purposes for her. And in Mary's yes was the beginning of the birth of the Christmas spirit. And so Mary became pregnant by a miracle of God. Our next reading is from Matthew 1:18-24. Thanks, Barry.
This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel.
Mary's miraculous pregnancy caused her husband to be Joseph many troubles. Mary was engaged to Joseph, and in those days, engagement was on an equal par with marriage. If for some reason the engagement had to be broken, you went through a similar divorce process as you would do if you were married. Now, Mary told Joseph that she was pregnant, and she also told him that she was pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, Joseph would have thought that she was both a crazy liar and an adulteress. So when he found out that Mary was pregnant and he knew he wasn't the father, Joseph, being a good man, decided not to publicly embarrass her, but to divorce her quietly. Why would you want to have anything to do with such a crazy woman and such silly talk? But one night, as he was tossing and turning on his bedroll, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and told him indeed that Mary hadn't been unfaithful, that what she said was true, that what was conceived in her was of the Spirit of God, and that he was to marry her. And they were to call the baby's name Jesus, because he will save their people from their sins. Now, Joseph could have said, "What a load of old cobblers. Mary pregnant by the Holy Spirit. I bet the father is actually that Bartholomew, the tent maker. I've seen the way he looks at Mary when we walk to the synagogue on Saturday." He could have said, "I'm not marrying that tainted woman. She's crazy. All that silly talk about being pregnant from the Spirit of God." Joseph could have said no, but he didn't. In fact, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. You see, Joseph said yes to the spirit of Christmas, despite what the neighbours would think. For if Mary was pregnant, everyone would have thought he was the father, and he would have been frowned upon also for putting the cart before the horse. You may be seated as we hear our next reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
The Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus decreed that a census should be taken and that everyone in the land should return to their hometown to register. And because he was of the line of David, Joseph had to return to Bethlehem, the town of David. But this census couldn't have come at a worse time for Mary and Joseph. Mary was heavily pregnant, and Bethlehem was a three-day trip from Nazareth. With Mary's condition, the baby could have been hurt by such a treacherous journey. But they didn't try to hide. They didn't try to get dispensation. They went immediately to Bethlehem. They said yes to Caesar. And in saying yes to Caesar, they were saying yes to the prophecy from the Old Testament prophet Micah, in chapter 5, verse 2, that the Messiah would be born in David's town of Bethlehem. It says, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephratah, are only a small village among all the people of Judah, yet a ruler of Israel will come for you. Yes, while there are many risks for mother and child in taking such a long journey, so close to her delivery, God was taking care of his only son. So the baby Jesus was born in a stable, an animal shed, and he was laid in a manger, an animal's feed box. No clean hospital beds or sheets for this little one. And in their obedience to the law of the land, and despite the very poor surroundings, Mary and Joseph said yes to the Christmas spirit. And thus the Old Testament prophecy was fulfilled that the Messiah would be born in the little town of Bethlehem. Our next reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And then the sky lit up with all the angels praising and glorifying God. Now, shepherds at the time of Jesus were quite disreputable characters. They had the reputation in communities similar to that today of the petty crook. The shepherds had certainly dropped in social standing since the time of David in the Old Testament, where the Lord God himself was seen as a shepherd. So it seems rather strange that these shady characters would be the ones to whom God would first choose to reveal the good news of the birth of the Saviour. One can imagine the fear that would have overcome them. One could imagine what they were thinking when they saw such a spectacular happening in the sky. But unbelief or doubt never overcame them. They didn't blame what they saw on Bethlehem moonshine. They went to Bethlehem to see this thing that had happened. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And what were the people's responses? Well, they were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And then the shepherds returned to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. You see, the shepherds said yes to the angel. They were the first to hear the Christian message, and they were the first Christian witnesses. the first to tell others about Jesus. The shepherd said yes to the spirit of Christmas, and look at the joy that they experienced. You may be seated as we hear Matthew 2, 1 to 12.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Matthew from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, "For this is what the prophet has written: But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country where another lived.
At that time there came a star in the east over the town of Bethlehem. And that star was a sign for some wise men from the east that the Christ, the Messiah, was born. These Magi were probably astrologers because they were looking for him who was born King of the Jews. It's perfectly natural for them to go to Jerusalem, the Jewish capital city, and thinking that he would be born there. But they did not find the Messiah there. In fact, they were put on the right path and sent in the right direction by him who had more to lose in this baby's birth than anyone else, King Herod. Herod sent them to Bethlehem. The star went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. They saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They gave him royal gifts, and then, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. While the shepherds were the first recorded witnesses of Jesus, the wise men were the first recorded worshippers of Jesus. The wise men followed what they knew to be the sign that the Messiah was born. They followed, and what joy did they experience? How wonderful was it for them to worship him? The wise men said yes to the messianic star, which shone in the sky and pointed the way to Jesus. They said yes to the angel in the dream to return home via another route. And in saying yes, they said no to Herod and his lies and his deceit. Look at the joy they had in finding the child Jesus, the fulfillment of their many years of study and their long journey. A reading from John 1, 1-18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. And without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all humankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, and the three wise men found the Christmas spirit by saying yes to the movement of God in their hearts and lives. The angels came to Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds. They all could have said no. They all could have thought that it was something they had eaten or drank something too strong. But once the word was given to them by the angels, God's messengers, they acted immediately and obediently. They didn't put up a whole lot of barriers like, "Well, there's no such thing as God speaking to us through angels," or "There is no such thing as a virgin getting pregnant." They heard and they obeyed. And it's similar with the wise men. They followed a natural phenomenon that they had learnt in their craft, and there they found the Messiah. The church reformer Martin Luther once said that every leaf that falls to the ground has the name of Christ written on it. Nature can also lead us to the Christ. The wise men said yes too in the dream, and they returned home another way. My friends, the way that we keep the Christmas spirit alive all year round is to say yes to God every day, to listen to God and to do what he is calling us to do, no matter how illogical it may seem, no matter how strange it may be, and no matter how anti-peer group it may be. You know, the reason why we are run off our feet, the reason why we are at war, the reason why we have brokenness in our families, the reason why we are weak in our faith, is because we don't listen to God. We either don't listen to him and his promptings in our hearts, therefore we don't act on what he has to say, or we listen to him and say no to what he calls us to do. We say, "No, God, we're not going to do that." And as a result, we live these stressed out, broken, dysfunctional, weak faith lives that are sapped of the joy, the peace, and the beauty of Christmas. Now you may say, "How do we listen to God? Is an angel supposed to come to me?" Indeed not. We have the Word of God to us, the Holy Bible. We have the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation given us in the sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion. The name angel means messenger, and so we receive the message of God every time we hear or read the Word of God, the Bible, or we receive Holy Communion, or we remember daily our baptism. This is, as we hear in the beginning of John's Gospel, the Word becoming flesh among us, so that we may know him, love him, serve him, worship him, and witness to him. God wants us to say yes to his calling, his working in our hearts, despite how illogical it may seem, despite how much it goes against society's tide, despite how extraordinary it might be for ordinary people like us, and despite how difficult it may be for us to fit him into the busy daily routines that we have from week to week. Keeping the Christmas spirit all year round is a matter of saying yes to God and his Holy Spirit as he moves in us and our hearts and lives as we receive him in the Word and in the sacraments each and every day. Imagine what a wonderful world we would have if we could all say a wholehearted yes to God always. So may God bless your Christmas day and for each and every other day of the year, may it be filled with the spirit of Christmas. Amen.